news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock with Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. Glad to have you along. It's going to be a real hot one today, and that's not exactly shocking breaking news,
but right.
It's going to be hotter than even yesterday. We'll be in the 90s with a heat index about 105.
I can put the mittens away for today.
You can. Sweaty baby going to be sweaty.
Very.
We've got a Georgetown Hoya on the line, as it turns out. You'll learn something new every day.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday, so we talk with our friend Quinn Hillier of QuinnHillier.com. He's also got a trilogy, I guess you'd call it, of books for sale on Amazon. Quinn, let folks know what those books are about and how exactly they can get them in their hands and in their houses.
It's the Mad Jones trilogy.
That's right.
Madison Jones, and it's Mad Jones Heretic, Mad Jones Hero, and Mad Jones Agonist. He's available at Amazon.com, and they're good, fun satires, so they should make you laugh. They should entertain you.
And normally, we're talking politics, and we will talk politics with you here in just a bit, but I've noticed you've done some writing over the last day. Is it fair to say a hero of yours passed away over the weekend?
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair to say. One of the greatest men I've ever met, Coach John Thompson at Georgetown. I was at Georgetown when their basketball team was in its heyday. I was actually sports editor the year we won the national championship.
Wow.
With Patrick Ewing. I was in the front row in the Seattle Kingdom when we won it all. I also was in the front row the next year in Kentucky when Villanova upset us. But that's a different story. But John Thompson, look, he was controversial. He had his detractors. He wasn't right on everything. But he was a great man. He was a great man because he had integrity and principles, and he loved his kids, and he made them study. I mean, you know, they had a reputation. You know, everybody said, oh, you know, he's taking kids that can't read or blah, 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 blah. Well, that wasn't true. He took kids, and if they were in his basketball program, if they were not at the road on a basketball game, they never missed a class.
Wow.
And I can say that from firsthand experience because I had classes with them.
Wow.
They didn't miss a class, and if they stayed 4 years without transferring out, they all graduated.
That is impressive.
He had two people early on that didn't graduate. After that, it was something like 76 out of 76 of them graduated that stayed 4 years.
What was he like personally, Quinn?
He was very gruff. He was a man of multiple moods. When he was warm, he would light up a room. When he was feeling ornery, you didn't want to be anywhere near him.
Yeah.
He was a complicated personality, but he was exactly what not just that program needed, but what his kids needed, and he took a Georgetown program that was 3-23. You repeat that. 3 wins and 23 losses the year before he got there, and he made it a perennial powerhouse, and he did it the right way. The very first person he hired was a nun that had been at the high school where he coached. He said, I'm hiring this lady, and she is going to be my tutor and my academic coordinator.
That is so cool.
He did that before he hired any assistant coaches, and for the next 20-something years, he told her job was to ride herd on those kids and make them study. And let me tell you, they were more afraid of her than they were of him.
Yep, I've known nuns like that in my day.
Quinn, from everything I've read about John Thompson, he seems like a man that so many other young men should strive to be like. Now, I'm a father of one, and that's a difficult job enough on its own, but he was a father figure to hundreds of young men and men that come from really, really difficult situations.
He was also, in a way, a father figure for all of us at the university. I mean, that's why it hit me so hard yesterday. I mean, granted, I was sports editor, so I was around, you know, the athletic program more than most, but He was a symbol of trying to insist on integrity amid tough circumstances. And yes, especially for his players, he was absolutely a father figure. And the thing was, he kept up with them even after they left, even if they were not his better players. There was a guy named Vadi Smith who almost never got off the bench, and after a couple of years, he transferred away to a program where he was going to get to play, you know, one of these lesser programs. And 2 years later, we're doing the preseason interviews, you know, for the preseason issue of the Georgetown Hoya, and Thompson saying blah, 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 and he said, I was talking to Vadi Smith yesterday, and we said, wait a minute, Vadi Smith left your program 2 years ago. He said, so what? He's still my kid. You know?
Yeah.
And he cared about those kids, and it showed in the way. This is maybe one of the most famous issues in images in basketball history. When in 1982 they played, it was still one of the greatest played basketball game, championship basketball games of all time, with more talent on the court than almost any other game. Georgetown, North Carolina, 1982. Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing, Sleepy Floyd. You know, all these great
James Worthy, yeah.
And right at the end, Fred Brown, who was a very good sophomore at the time, Georgetown and North Carolina both wore powder blue uniforms. And out of the corner of his eye, he saw powder blue, and he passed it to him, and it was passed directly to a North Carolina guy. It was when the game was on the line within 1 point, and it basically cost us the game. And, you know, that's the kind of thing where you think a coach is going to berate the kid. Well, there's a foul or a timeout called, and Brown comes to the sideline hanging his head. And rather than, what the hell do you think you're doing, Thompson went up and gave him one of the most famous bear hugs in history.
I remember that.
And he loved those kids. He was tough on them. It was tough love. But he loved those kids. And he had his flaws, but he was a thoroughly admirable man. And if I got time, the greatest story is when he found out the most infamous drug lord in Washington, D.C., had grown up with the brother of one of his players and was trying to insinuate himself into, you know, the social life of his players. And he put word on the street. He said, I want to see Rafael Edmond. And drug lord Rafael Edmond came, because that's how respected Thompson was in the community. He came to Thompson's office in McDonough Gymnasium, and Thompson said, look, you got your business. I don't like it, but I'm not messing with it. I'll let the police mess with it, but you don't mess with my kids. I don't ever want to hear any report of you hanging around with my kids again. And Rafael Edmond said, yes, sir, and was never seen with his kids again. And was arrested and jailed a year later, and became a model prisoner. The FBI and the prosecutors then, you know, after 30 years, but they made a big plea to let Rafael Edmond out because he'd been cooperating with them all that time to help them beat the drug trade in Washington, D.C., and his life turned around when John Thompson called him in.
Wow. He mentored a drug lord is what he did. kept him away from his players.
Don't mess with my kids. And besides that, I don't like what you're doing.
Unbelievable. Well, Quinn, when we get back from the break, I want to take it to politics. Joe Biden hit the streets in Pittsburgh yesterday. President going law and order. Let's discuss that when we get back here.
Sounds good.
All right, Quinn Hillier is about to talk some politics, so you don't want to miss that. On the way, FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. It is 15 minutes after 8 o'clock. Y'all, it's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 106.5. With the phone number and the text line are beautifully one and the same. So you can get in touch the way you want to at 343-0101. 06.
Yeah, talking with Quinn Hillier. Check out his writings, quinnhillier.com. Also, the Mad Jones Agonistes Trilogy on Amazon.com. And Quinn, I was browsing your Twitter page because you put so much good content up there. And I encourage anyone listening that wants to read more to go to twitter.com/Quinn Hillier. And over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, I've heard three names a lot in the national news. I've heard the name Jacob Blake. I've heard the name Kyle Rittenhouse and also Jay Danielson over these last few days. One name I have not heard at all, except for on your Twitter, where you retweeted this image of a little boy named Zekir Young, shot and killed in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Monday during a gang shootout last Monday. The report says he was sleeping when a bullet came through the wall and struck him in the head. No arrests have been made, and I have not heard that name at all in the national media, and I haven't heard the name of so many other young children and innocent people that have been affected by violence in America, but we keep hearing these same three names. We keep hearing about the riots. What's going on with that? That's a loaded question.
What's going on is that as a culture, we are losing our minds. Police are good. Police keep our cities safe. And yes, there are bad police. There are also people that would be good police who are not well enough trained, or they might be better for desk jobs because, you know, they don't handle stress or whatever. But police are good, and most policemen are good, and they are not getting the support that they need. And they are withdrawing. They are being underfunded. They are under attack, and they're not out there able to protect our communities the way that they should be, and it's not their fault, usually. It's the fault of these left-wingers and these politicians who are jumping on the defund or cut funding movement of the police. And what's happening is the carnage in American cities is rising, and innocent people are getting hurt or killed because the crime wave is growing. And look, everybody's jumping on Joe Biden for the 1994 crime bill. That's one of the few things he did right. The 1994 crime bill was part of the movement that was led by, you know, on tactics and other things by Rudy Giuliani in New York, but it was all part and parcel of the movement that beefed up policing, that supported policing both better and smarter, that cut the crime rate nationwide by about 50%. And that's a good thing, not a bad thing. And I just cannot understand why everybody's saying, oh, you know, a few high-profile incidents means we should withdraw support for the police. That makes no sense. I'll stop there, but I'm really frustrated.
So what we have setting up here now, just over 2 months away from Election Day, and
there's an election coming up.
Yeah, believe it or not, there is.
I'm going to write that down.
The city where that young boy was shot and killed last week, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's where presidential challenger Joe Biden went yesterday. One of the first few times he's traveled outside of Delaware to campaign as they start this late 2 month push. And he talked about the riots quite a bit yesterday and basically placed them at Trump's feet. Biden said that Trump isn't stopping the violence because he's the cause of the violence in a lot of cases. But it looks to me like we've got the Republicans and pretty much the entire RNC last week, all 4 days, Republicans went hard on law and order and tying the Democrats to the unrest in the streets. I want to know your thoughts on how that battle is shaping up.
Well, when you have a vice presidential candidate who, with riots going on across the country after the horrendous killing of George Floyd, gets up there and says these riots, these protests are good things, and let me tell you, they're going to continue. We want them to continue. They're not going to stop. They're not even going to stop after the election, direct quote. Well, if she's saying that we need, at the time, 6 solid months of protests even after the election, when without at the time making much distinction at all between protests and looting and violence and riots, that's a problem. the hard left is forgetting the lessons of Martin Luther King, of John Lewis, that protests should be nonviolent, that protests themselves should try to follow every other law except the specific law maybe that they're trying to protest, such as sitting at a lunch counter. But it's not supposed to be wanton. It's not supposed to be radical. It's supposed to be using the right to protest, the right to assembly within our system, but within the laws of the system. And they have forgotten that. And while Biden supporters say, oh, he said, you know, and they'll point to four different times when he said, well, we don't like violence. But you know what it's like? I went back and listened. And it's like, he's like, protest, 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 protest. Oh, and by the way, we don't like violence. But protest, right. Protest, protest. The main message is get out there and protest. The whole system is racist. And then a little parenthetical aside without any passion saying, but no violence. Uh-uh. Until yesterday, that was the tone. That was the sort of the, well, you know, let's throw it out there so we can say we said it, but we don't really mean it.
It's almost like kids will be kids. You know, they're just a little mad right now. I was talking to Dalton earlier this morning saying, can you imagine if a town that we know and love, or Mobile, or if you're across the bay, Fairhope, can you imagine outside agitators coming to our city doing what's being done in so many of these cities from people that don't even live there, have no care in the world about how it all sorts out? How terrifying and frustrating that would be. It's got to be awful.
Yeah, I saw some stat, and I didn't get to read the story, so it was just a headline, but it was either in Portland or Seattle, one of these places, that they had found that 60% of the people actually arrested for taking the protests too far and turning them into riots, 60% were not from that area.
Yep.
They were outside agitators.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a well, it might have been another city, but I read a stat earlier from Kenosha where they've arrested 200 people, and over half were from outside Kenosha. 44 different cities these people have been arrested from. Just got a minute left. My last question for you, with law and order taking center stage now in both of these campaigns, do you think that helps swing the numbers back towards President Trump's reelection chances?
I think it does. I think Trump is probably going to win. And I spent the whole first half of the year saying anybody that makes a prediction in this weird year is crazy. But as soon as Biden chose Kamala Harris, I came out within the hour and said, I'm now predicting a Trump victory. And it's because Biden has sold out to his party's hard left wing, and the riots are an example of it, and the riots are part and parcel of it, and there will be a backlash against it. The backlash has already started.
Quinn Hillier, whose work is available at Amazon, and also where else can we go to find out what you're doing?
Well, most of what I write is at Washington Examiner. So Google Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner, or sign up for my newsletter at quinnhillier.com, and you'll get a weekly free update.
By the way, that story that you wrote about John Thompson, great, and so personal. We can find that at the Washington Examiner as well.
At
right?
The Washington Examiner, yes, indeed.
Thank you, Quinn.
Thanks.
All right. That was Quinn Hillier. Coming back, we'll talk about Biden's trip to Pittsburgh yesterday and the president as he gets ready to visit Kenosha, Wisconsin later today.
It is 8:30 at FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, Mobile Mornings. Thank you for listening.
836 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Which right. one are you?
I would be the second D there. I would be Dalton.
Yeah, man, be proud of it.
I am so proud, and I'm happy that
you
I get
wear
to
wear that Orwig name everywhere you go, young man.
I have the family seal somewhere around here. All right, time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, the Double D's.
What's up, man? I don't know if that show name will stick. There's certainly people that want the show to be called the Mobile Mornings with the Double D's. I'm not particularly fond of it, but we'll see what happens.
I think it's heavenly.
I do know that it's the start of a new month. I can't believe we're already into September of this year, 2020, and whenever there's a new month, that means deals over at McConnell Automotive. What can we expect when we come over to the lot?
Employee pricing. They extended everything. General Motors extended everything through the 8th. So we still got employee pricing going on SUVs. Got rebates on the new pickup trucks, which we got a load in yesterday. I had a couple of salesmen back there trying to get them off because a couple of them were sold. So, I mean, as soon as trucks or Yukons get here, we sell them. We want to thank everybody for coming in last month. Had a great month, got a bunch of great trades. Y'all can check those out at McConnellAutomotive.com. And by the way, if you want to sell your car, give Gene or I a call. Give us the VIN and the miles, 251-476-4141. We'll give you a price right over the telephone.
That's some great news. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank y'all.
That is Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and it is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Dr. Bill says plenty hot out there today. We'll be in the 90s with the heat index closer to 105.
Yeah, and thanks to Quinn Hillier for coming on, talking law and order in these presidential campaigns. And we'll get into President Trump's presser yesterday where he talked about his planned visit today to Kenosha, Wisconsin. But we also want to talk to you. Turn up your voice, 343-0106. And let's go to the phone lines and talk with Ricky. Ricky from Mobile. Good morning, man.
What's going on, guys?
Hi. How you doing, Ricky?
My heart's broke.
What happened?
I call in. I listen to this every day, man. Look, I was raised in Alabama Village, and I was probably the worst sinner that's ever come out of there. I did it all, okay? I don't want to go into every little detail, but I did it all.
Mm-hmm.
My daddy was raised in prison. I never saw him but a couple times. I had a grandma that was a Christian grandma that taught me about the gospel when I was little, went to church. And when I was raised back then, there was a lot of Christians around that I could look up to that believed in God and give me the light. And eventually, by the time I was 35, I got saved. God opened my eyes and saved me. Now, I'm telling y'all, this is a battle for our souls in this country. Alabama had better repent and get back to God. The only person that's going to stop this is God. We have a kick God out of this country. We kicked the Bible out of school. Our colleges have turned into a party house. Our country is decimated. Satan has corrupted every bit of us. And the battle is very real. The demons and the fallen angels that you don't see in this world, they're here, and they're destroying us, and we're under spiritual warfare. And I believe God has given us a little pause to reflect on what's really going on, letting us see Black Lives Matter, letting us see the real evil that's behind all that hatred. But I promise y'all, God is coming and he's close, and I'm just warning everybody. I'm not no better than nobody. I'm just a saved sinner, saved by grace, by God's grace. But I promise you, everybody better start choosing a side and speaking up, because I don't see no preachers on the streets. I see churches closed for a face mask. The God virus is not bigger than Jesus Christ. He's one that's in control, and we're being suckered by Satan and all his evil minions in this world and our government.
Oh.
And all of them up there need to be fired and relocated, because we are in deep trouble. But the true thing we need to do is repent and believe.
Hey, well, we appreciate you opening up to us there, Ricky, and I do agree with a few of your points there, and appreciate you coming on. But you're becoming a bit of a household name on the Paul Feinbaum Show. You enjoy going on that in the afternoon?
Yeah, I love Mobile, Alabama. I'm born and raised here, Alabama Village. You know, just and I know that my life of corruption and sin, all the sin I parted with Satan. I come out of the womb. Every one of us come out of the womb with love and sex, drugs, and rock and roll, brother. Every one of us, and we all have to come to grips in that cross for one day to where we're gonna turn and go. You know, like Coach Barry Bryant, like all the coaches taught us how to, you know, put God first, country, you know, family. We had a reason to live. Now we're just lost in the darkness. And we got sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and just destroyed our country. We have to get back to the old past. And I pray to God that everybody knows that I'm not judging you. I'm not doing it. I'm telling you, go to God. If everybody that's not a Christian that don't believe, that's fine. But the ones that do, we need to rock this world in prayer right now for our nation.
Ricky, thank you for the call.
Yeah.
Very impassioned.
Very. Not the direction I thought our call with Ricky would go this morning. I'm not used to him taking that tack, but I do appreciate his thoughts. And I know and quite a few of the things he laid out there, he is not alone. A lot of people.
No, and I appreciate, you know, I appreciate his passion. And believe it or not, I know a lot about where he's talking about, where he was raised, Alabama Village, because I'm on the board of directors for Light of the Village.
Tough place.
Very sad place. Tough place, sad place, you know, whatever adjective you want to put there that is not flattering.
Mm-hmm.
And the residents of Alabama Village would probably tell you that themselves.
Yeah.
But it's a place that is, it's lacking in many things, including hope. And so what the staff at Light of the Village does is at least, in the very least, offer them hope, education, ministry. So anyway, that's I can speak to where Ricky's from.
Yeah, that might have been the least contentious phone call we've had with Ricky on the show. I got to say, I enjoy when he's on the Paul. If you haven't heard Ricky on the Paul Feinbaum show, you got to hear them go round and round. It's fun in the afternoon.
Well, when Ricky is on the Paul, what I've heard, and I missed Ricky yesterday on the Feinbaum show. What I did hear was everybody after Ricky.
Talking about
so everybody
Ricky.
Was referring to Ricky's call, so I'm sure he made quite the splash. And you can imagine Ricky's rhetoric and his passion being heard across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Not just here yeah. in Mobile, Theodore, and Fairhope.
And on national TV.
And national TV, as well as national TV and regional radio. But, basically, national. Yeah, that show was heard nationally as well. So, anyway, I appreciate his passion, and I can imagine that it's quite provocative when people hear Ricky and they're in anywhere USA.
No doubt, yeah. It's provocative every time I hear Ricky, for sure. let's bring it back to politics a little bit,
okay.
Because I think something that'll be talked about a lot today, for sure, is President Trump and his travel itinerary. Now, over the weekend, he came down to the southeast toward Lake Charles and surveyed some of the damage from Hurricane Laura over the weekend. And, that's not unusual for the president to travel around even in this age of the pandemic. Now, what is unusual is Joe Biden left Delaware for the first time in a long time yesterday as he made his way over to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for a bit of a virtual campaign rally. Cher was involved in that rally, and we could talk about that later in the hour and get your thoughts on Biden's new campaign. But
Biden and Cher.
Biden and Cher, 2020.
Well, because, you know, Sonny's no longer with us.
Yeah.
And there was an opening in the lineup, and so it's Biden and Cher.
Yeah, and so the president, it looks like the trip is a go today. He's going to go to Kenosha, Wisconsin, where there have been riots and protests ever since the shooting of Jacob Blake just a couple weeks ago. But that incident, of course, triggered some of these riots, all these riots that we've seen in Kenosha. The president, he has condemned the violence, and yesterday an oppressor remarked on what his administration has done to help resolve that issue.
Something we did a good job when the governor didn't want us there. He didn't want the National Guard, as you know. He was very reluctant. But I give him credit because ultimately he said yes. And as soon as he said yes, the problem ended.
So the president yesterday, he also talked about Kyle Rittenhouse, that 17-year-old that had the AR-15 in Kenosha and shot and killed two of the protesters. Now, Rittenhouse has been charged with intentional murder, and he was from across state lines, from Antioch, Illinois, like so many of these different stories we've seen, where a lot of these incidents that they're having in Kenosha are coming from people from outside the city. Now, the city in Illinois, I think I heard it's about 30 minutes away from Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Right.
But, you know, the press yesterday was just dying to get a quote from the president talking about this guy. And Trump did talk about Rittenhouse. He said he agreed with Rittenhouse's lawyer, who says that the 17-year-old shot those protesters in self-defense after being chased. And the president spoke about that a little bit.
That was an interesting situation. You saw the same tape as I saw. And he was trying to get away from them, I guess, it looks like. And he fell, and then they very violently attacked him. And it was something that we're looking at right now, and it's under investigation.
So, of course, those quotes, red meat for the media in a lot of situations. And the president, even though the governor of Wisconsin reportedly wrote him a letter, I don't know how he decided on a letter, but he wrote a letter to the...
You know, mail system, everything's yeah. A-OK. I'm sure it got there in a whiz.
Everything leads back to the USPS this year. So he wrote him a letter saying, don't come to Wisconsin. And I imagine the president crumbled that thing up and threw it in the trash and said, don't tell me what to do. So he's heading to Kenosha today.
Just congratulations, Mr. President, on receiving your mail.
he's going to meet with law enforcement there in Kenosha. And it'll be very, very interesting what happens today as the president visits one of these cities that's just been marked by violence and riots. And we were looking at some images on the news earlier, Dan, over my shoulder, and it really looks like a tornado tore through that city.
Well, it did. So you were kind of busy doing some radio, and over your shoulder I saw, and I thought they were in Louisiana.
Yeah.
I thought that's where the reporter for CBS was, because we were monitoring WKRG. And then this graphic comes up, and he's in Kenosha. I was like, wow.
Yeah. So what do you think? Is this a good move by the president to head over to Kenosha? Republicans going heavy on law and order going into this election. 343-0106. Give us a call or text. Works on the same number.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 106.5. And again, phone number, text line, they're the same. 343-0106. We're back in just a few minutes. Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. We are Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. I didn't get to the text line, and somebody welcomed me to the presence of Ricky on the text line.
Yeah,
right?
My buddy Ben said, Dan meet Ricky, Ricky meet Dan.
All right.
Now you know each other.
Got that out of the way.
This segment of the show brought to you by your CBD store of West Mobile. Now, if you're like me and you appreciate the benefits of CBD, right now is the time to stock up, because your CBD store of West Mobile is celebrating Labor Day with an everything in the store sale. And if you're not familiar with the benefits of CBD, and if you'd like to know more, all you got to do is ask Joe Brown at your CBD store, and then you'll want to stock up, because just like I said, everything in the store is on sale today and this Thursday only. Select items are 25% off, also 10% off all other items. And that's not all. To make it even better, you'll get a free gift with your purchase. So do like I do and visit my favorite CBD store, your CBD store of West Mobile. You'll find them on Hillcrest across from Waffle House, or in this age of COVID-19, you can call in your order, 260-3223. That's 260-3223. Can even pick that order up curbside. Your CBD store of West Mobile, Labor Day sale today and this Thursday only. They're open from 11 to 5, closed Friday through Monday for Labor Day.
So in years past, at a radio station across town, across the interstate,
mm-hmm.
that I was employed at, people would say things like, this is no lie, Garth Brooks is on hold. Alan Jackson is on hold.
Mm-hmm.
The guys from Old Dominion are on hold.
Right.
Dan and Shay are on hold. When I heard that Ricky was on hold, that crossed another bridge, because I was almost starstruck because of hearing Ricky. I was used to talking to country artists.
Uh-huh.
I'm not used to talking to a man who's become nationally known,
right.
I'll just say that.
On the microphone.
On the Paul Feinbaum show by his calls there. So
it wasn't Ricky Skaggs either.
I've had a wonderful conversation with Ricky Skaggs. Now, it was nothing like the conversation we just had with that Ricky. But in any event, that was my indoctrination. So now I'm in.
Yeah, he'll now call every day. Thanks, Dan. did you see these pictures? And I need to share this on my Twitter page.
This is amazing.
I found this unbelievable. And what makes it even better is there is no story involved. There are images.
No, there's a story.
There's a story.
We just don't know the story.
We don't know what the story might be. So we actually got some picture texts to our text line yesterday afternoon.
You've done a good job of filling in the blanks in the story, by the way. Yeah. Your theories are excellent.
Well, Detective Dalton on the case here.
Yeah.
And, so the text line, 343-0106, we got a few of these texts. And I was like, well, that's That's strange. I wonder what that's all about. And then this story was posted to WKRG. I'll just read the story to you, and then I'll try to describe the images. Dan, a boat fell 40 feet from the Dog River Bridge.
How?
Onto the road below.
Why?
How? We have no idea. Why? We also have no idea.
It's the story without a story.
We do know that on the way down, this boat took out some power lines and caused a mess on the road. I love this part of the copy. The boat was badly damaged. Fell 40 feet off Dog River Bridge, and believe it or not, the boat was damaged.
I was telling Dalton that sentence, if what the text of that sentence was, the boat suffered no damage.
That's a story.
That would be news. The boat was badly damaged. Yeah, we would have thought so.
Yeah, and you know, I'm no fishing expert. I'm no boat expert like Midday Mobile host Sean Sullivan.
Oh, yeah.
So he could probably tell you the make and model of this boat that there's pictures of. But fish strewn all over the road. I think I even saw some fish in the power lines. They said it did knock some power lines down on the way down. And thankfully, no one was hurt. I imagine the fish were already dead in the boat. So I don't think that this was, I don't think they died from the fall. But I was wondering, did the boat fly off the trailer? Apparently not. There's a picture of the trailer in the middle of the road, so
you're trying to say there's some sort of story behind all this. That's what you're insinuating, and you're trying to cause trouble.
That's exactly what I'm doing, because I've never seen anything like this. But I'll post it to my Twitter page. It's actually on our Facebook page right now, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. See the images.
It is 1,000,000% worth going there. It's 1,000,000% worth checking this out.
Try to come up with the story in your own mind.
That's right.
What happened? It looks like the trailer just flew right off of somebody's hitch and went over the side of Dog River Bridge.
Can I propose this? That by the time we get here in the morning, tomorrow morning, our text line is full of your stories. you write the story. Maybe Quinn will. Quinn, excellent writer. Maybe Quinn Hillier can text us with his story. But can you imagine if we have three, four, or five excellent texts about what our listeners think happened? You know, it's kind of like a caption contest.
Yeah, we're actually getting some texts, and I hate when people more knowledgeable than me text in and start putting,
setting you straight.
He's setting me straight here. Somebody said, wind blew it off the bridge. It's a commercial boat. Trailer became unattached from the truck while coming down the hill. The trailer with the boat attached careened over the side of the bridge. Travis says the boat was a gill net boat. In my mind, I think that this was some police chase. And this guy had sharks in the boat. I think he had some illegal fish in there. In my mind, this is in no way factual. I think he was running from the cops, hit his deploy hitch button, which automatically ejected the boat up and over the side of Dog River Bridge.
I've done that 1,000,000 times.
And yeah, there's sharks, other fish in the power lines. We're getting more images here. Unbelievable.
Oh, all that's going on in the world, and as it turns out, I think that's the story of the day around these parts. And Ricky could explain all this.
Yeah,
if
for
we
sure.
could only get him back on the phone. FM Talk 106.5.